Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Talk Show. I'm here with my co-hostess, Misty Hall. And each week, my co-hostess, Misty, and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So good evening to you, Misty.
Good evening, Bonnie. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Doing good. It's very chilly here in Philadelphia. And how about where you are?
Right now I'm enjoying snow and cold weather. And, of course, that will all change soon. I'll be back in the tropics very soon. But while I'm here, I love the snow and cold weather. And I know most people think I'm a freak of nature for actually loving snow, but I do.
I'm starting with me, Misty, because I hate it.
I know you do. I said that just for you.
Well, maybe. Yeah, but maybe when I was younger and your age, I liked it when I was able to get around in it better.
I love it.
Now I just find it debilitating and crippling.
You know, it just brings up the wonder in me. You know, all those days of, like, when you're a child, you think, oh, my, they may call off school tomorrow. It brings all back all those warm fuzzies for me. I love it.
That's great. So, Misty, before we get started, I do want to announce to people, I'm going to give you our phone number in case you would like to call in if you have any issues you would like to discuss. We're happy to help you, listen to you, and commiserate with you. Our number here, you can get a pencil, is area code 646-716-4893. And I'll repeat that one more time, area code 646-716-4893. 4893. So, Misty, why don't you tell us a little bit? You have some upcoming workshops for the holidays, is that correct?
I do, and I have one coming up that's not too late to join. Please send me an email quickly if you would like to join. I anticipate it being really great. It is what I call the holiday workshop. Regardless of your religion or what you celebrate, we will come together and help you get through the holidays. Holidays are notoriously rough. When you're facing a divorce or going through a divorce or, you know, just gotten out of a marriage that's really bad. So when you're in different stages of grief, that loss of a relationship, holidays can really be tough because there's so many traditions centered around the holiday, not to mention the advertisements you see on TV, on the sidewalk, when you're walking by, or the billboards and all those things for the holidays and the magic that the holidays are supposed to bring. Well, when you're going through a divorce or being a straight wife, you know sometimes there's not a lot of magic there. You can feel very doom and gloom. So anyway, I'm repeating this one from last year. It was such a hit, and I had such wonderful feedback from it. What we will do, we will start this holiday workshop on December the 13th. We will meet each Monday via the comforts from your own home through a telephone. You only have to have the use of a telephone. You will call into a conference line phone number, and you will be joined by a group of straight wives from around our country and possibly from some other countries as well. Depends on who all will be joining us. And the great part about it is there's healing in numbers. I always believe that. There is healing that really takes place in numbers when you come forth with the same intentions of getting through something, getting over something. So, you know, if you're having some trouble getting through the holidays, by all means, drop me an email. We will get you some support. Last year it was wonderful. I expect the same thing this year. And not only will you get the support, we will also have time. I limit the number of people that participate in these because I want everyone to have time. And everyone does have time to ask specific questions. And I will give specific advice to their questions. And the great part about a group is you get collective advice, not only from me, but from the group. So they're wonderful. It's a wonderful way to experience some life coaching at the wonderful group rate. So I encourage you to join us. This particular holiday workshop, I designed it so that it starts mid-December. It will take you all the way through the first of the year. So we will meet 4 consecutive Monday nights, and it is, I got some really wonderful feedback just how much it did help and will help you get through that. So by all means, send me an email, and that is at mistylynnhall@aol.com. I will give you my version of spelling and sounding of that, I guess I should say. Misty, MistyHallHall at AOL.com. If you're interested in that, I'd love to send you the information and have you join us.
Can you talk a little bit about what you cover in these workshops, Misty?
Absolutely. I'll go into a little bit about this particular one. The holidays are so tough. I mean, regardless of which holiday you celebrate, holidays are notorious for family tradition. I mean, that's just the way it usually is. You know, whether you spend time with his family, your family, or just as a family unit, oftentimes there's traditions. And when we anticipate, when we're going through grief and we anticipate those holidays, it is just so rough. It can be crippling. It can be debilitating. It can, you know, want you to hide away for months until December's over, until January is over, until some of these important holidays are over. It can be so debilitating and so depressing. However, when you come together with the group, you hear other women's story, and I can give specific advice or suggestions, is a better word, to specific issues a couple may be having, you know, while they're going through the divorce process or what to do. For example, one lady I've worked with before, it was really interesting, not one, there's been several, but one I've got in mind right now. When we were going through the holiday season, I was going through a holiday season with her in a session, and finally we came upon a solution. She said, you know, I think it would help me if I just acted as if I was already separated and divorced now this holiday season. So that's what helped her. And what I did as a life coach was help support her through that, because that's what she felt would help her prepare for the future of being alone for the holidays in the future. And, you know, she'd gone to parties, and I encouraged her to do that with friends, family, coworkers. And she said, it was so interesting, she said it was one of her greatest holiday seasons, even though she was in the midst of chaos. She really enjoyed it, and she has children. So she found a way to celebrate with children, and she found a way to celebrate with herself and find joy in the holidays. So that was a great success story. Another success story.
One of the things you've really impressed on us in the last few weeks, especially with Thanksgiving, is that people can make new traditions. Can you talk about
that? Absolutely. I'm going to give an example of something we had in the chat a few weeks ago. We had a particular straight wife in the chat, and I hope she's listening tonight. If so, this is for you. We had a particular lady in the chat, straight wife's chat, and she was really anticipating the upcoming holiday of Thanksgiving. Once again, because it's centered around holiday tradition and families gathering. So those holidays are tough. So don't be hard on yourself. They're really tough. So what I suggested to her is, you know, change things up. Do not try to repeat a holiday tradition when you're going through the midst, when you're in the throes of grief. It can make things worse. You really can. I have really rarely seen an incident that, you know, sticking to a particular family holiday tradition that has helped the family went through a grief process. I just never see that happen. So what I suggested to her was, you know, start a new tradition. And new traditions do not have to be monumental. They are small, because you don't want to do anything monumental that's going to take away from, you know, just take away from your mind, your time that you are planning to enjoy something. You know, possibly you love to cook, so you don't want to create some kind of activity that's going to take away from something that you enjoy. So you want to find something simple to do. And what I suggested to her was, you know, she has some children. I said, you know, and I've learned this through my days working at hospice, of how difficult holidays are, especially when, you know, you're in the grief process, because people going through hospice, they're facing grief as well. So what I found that was my best therapeutic tool, when I would go on home visits, I would have a bag of ornaments. I had ornaments for Hanukkah and I had ornaments for Christmas, depending on what this person's religion was. And they loved it. It was one of the most popular things I had ever done with any family. And so that's just something I sort of figured out by the seat of my pants to do. So I suggested it to one of our members. You know, go pick out, go to one of your local craft stores. Buy some holiday ornaments that need to be painted. Buy some inexpensive paint. And, you know, after the holiday or, you know, that night when things have wound down or that morning, greet it with mourning. You know, start your new tradition. How simple is that? Under $10, you can probably get 10 ornaments and paint that goes with it. So start new traditions and, you know, do your holiday ornaments and paint them on like a holiday like Thanksgiving. And, I mean, what wonderful memories. You're making new memories. That's the goal. You want to make new memories. Because
right,
you're,
and
your
there are so many people. Another thing, if you want to extend yourself beyond, you know, just doing something at home, there are so many people who really need help during the holiday season. You know, volunteer for a day or two, you know, children's hospitals or, you know,
absolutely,
a nursing home where people are really isolated and alone and would be thrilled to have you come and spend time with them. And I think that's really what, you know, the holiday spirit should be about, is trying to, you know, find the happiness of what, you know, Christmas is all about. Unfortunately, you know, when you do have bad memories and, you know, it does really trigger so many feelings. I mean, I am embarrassed to say this. I mean, I felt, you know, like during the Thanksgiving week, really, you know, a mental setback. You know, it's a depressing time for me because, you know, I've lost both my children. And that was always like our favorite holiday. And, you know, it's easy to say make new traditions, but when they're not there to make them with you, you know, it's really difficult. And I felt myself really, you know, slipping a little bit, but I had to pull myself up and, you know, move ahead and try to, you know, just focus on the positive things going on in my life. But I know that's easier said than done, and especially for people in their early, you know, this is your first Christmas by yourself, you know, and not as a family. You know, you sit back and you think about the times you did have. You know, it's very easy to fall into that trap. So that's why getting together with Misty for her workshops will be more than helpful to help go through this. And I think if nothing else, if beyond healing, Misty, when you get together in your group sessions, it's validating. Because so many women just think they're the only ones who are going through this and there must be something wrong with them. And then you see that there's this connection of women who all have all the same similar feelings and connections that, you know, we all go through. When we
it's
think
so important to see all the self-blame. You know, we see so much of that with our women. And when you come together in one of these groups and one of these workshops, you know, you actually get to feel really normal. You get to feel validated. You realize that someone else has passed through this, and you realize that someone else may have passed through where you're at a few years, but they're having a minor setback, just like you had a minor setback. It's part of grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to embrace it, acknowledge it, move, do something to help it, you know, to help move us forward again. So that's part of the grieving process. I have women in these workshops from all stages, which can be very helpful, you know, and it's just part of the process and part of a healthy process, let me say, when you acknowledge that, you know, you're having a hard time or you acknowledge that you're having a little setback and you think, okay, you know what, I'm going to have to try something different. And what can I try different? So if you're in that mode, in that mind of thinking, I encourage you to try this out. Because I've had a lot of good feedback from it. And it's so rewarding to me to hear the stories, the success stories that we get to hear when these people go through these things. And, you know, like last year there was a woman, you know, her children were older, and they just didn't want to do much for the holidays. They were, you know, they had their boyfriends and girlfriends and that sort of thing. But they just didn't have that much holiday spirit because, once again, and don't forget, the children grieve. You know, loss of the family as well. So what we had discussed, I said, well, you know, there's always giving back, just like you said, Bonnie. I said, there's always giving back. Is there something in your community that you can give back? And she said, well, you know, I'm not really religious. I'm not, you know, I don't really attend a church, synagogue, anything like that. I said, well, you don't have to. Can you find one that may be a soup kitchen? I said, it doesn't matter. I said, you don't have to be affiliated. Well, she, across the street from a place that she worked, she found I don't remember what type of church it was or what type of organization. She met the people that ran it, and she helped feed homeless people Christmas, and she said it's one of her best Christmases she's ever had. So how wonderful
is
that? Isn't that wonderful?
Absolutely. Well, I thought that in honor of the holidays coming up, I went back through my old newsletters, and, you know, a lot of these are in my book, Straight Talk, that, you know, can be bought on my website at BonnieKBooks.com. And of all the books that I've written, my newsletter book is my favorite because it really reflects my feelings about almost everything. But this piece was written back in 2001. It's almost 10 years old. But I thought it's still relevant today. So I'm going to read this. It's called There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays. And this was my first newsletter during the holidays. In other words, my newsletter had started the year before, and this was the first, I believe, the first Christmas. It says, let me wish all of my readers a happy holiday season. Well, how about a peaceful holiday season? I think that expecting a happy holiday may make you start to think that you're supposed to be happy, when in fact, many of you are reading this are going through your own heavy-duty pain. When I was married to my gay husband, I usually found holidays to be very depressing. People appeared so happy wherever I went, all wrapped up in a mystical holiday spirit. Inwardly, I felt like a knife was cutting me because I was so desperately wanted what I thought everyone else had, namely a loving spouse and happy family. I went through the holidays very mechanically, doing all the right things, but somehow I always felt disappointed when they were over. My husband made sure to surround us with lots of people in order to take the focus off of us as a couple. Holidays meant that we were home, alone, a definite no-no. My husband did his best to make sure that his numerous friends and family members would spill into our home. He called as many as possible to invite them over with promises of good food that I would have to prepare, and great conversation that he would monopolize. There was too much danger in having a long period of quiet time together. That would mean that I might make the demand in his head or the suggestion in my head for intimacy. Excuse me. It became all too familiar a holiday pattern. Surround us with lots of people I couldn't care less about and, in fact, feel irritated by, to avoid my desperate pleas for affection, intimacy, and sex. And on those rare days when people just couldn't make it over due to snow blizzards or other plans, you could be sure that that was a day when an argument would ensue. The fight didn't have to be over anything of importance. It just had to start and then build itself into a mountain. I'm sure that my husband realized that a molehill would have never stopped me from making a suggestion. But once things escalated into a mountain, they were too high to climb and usually left me sleeping on a couch or not sleeping at all while I cried. Overdramatic? I don't think so. When I recall some of the absurdities that went on in our marriage that I couldn't understand, it finally makes sense. After speaking with thousands of women, this is often an emerging pattern. After all, after it happens enough times, you retreat and take a giant step backwards. You know the drill. Ask for something that your husband doesn't want you to ask for long enough, and you'll just stop asking. It beats a fight or argument over nothing of importance, as well as the humiliation of being turned down again for wanting a normal human need, namely intimacy. Somehow the fantasies that had played over and over again in my head throughout my youth, adolescence, and early adulthood about home and the holidays just never happened. That's why I became conditioned after the first few holidays not to get excited, not to see the beauty, not to feel the spirit, and most importantly, not to get my hopes up. That went for every holiday. I had to reshuffle my way of thinking about the song No Place Like Home for the Holidays. I definitely knew they were not talking about my home. And so, my friends, if your holidays don't meet up to your expectations of what they're supposed to be, don't feel that it's you. It's not. It's your situation. And if you are not in your marriage, don't think that those feelings go away quickly. The memories of when you were in your marriage can linger on for many years to come. The good news is the feeling of excitement can return in time. If you meet your soulmate at a future point, you will understand the joy of watching the big apple fall down at midnight while he holds you close to him and starts the fireworks at midnight to celebrate your future year together. You'll be able to turn off the television after the third verse of Auld Lang Syne and make your own music. And even if you spend the night alone until you meet your soulmate, or if you never meet him, it won't hurt nearly as much as spending it with someone who makes you feel as if you are the person who takes the joy out of the holiday because you are always hoping for something that he is not willing or able to give you. What do you think about that?
Wow. You know what I found? What really stuck out to me, of course, because it struck a chord in my own past story, my now ex-gay husband, was how he said, you know, he made sure he surrounded, you know, you as a little family with lots of other people to take the focus off of, you know, him and you. I remember those days as well. Just when I thought it was going to be us spending time together, here came a whole group of people he had invited, or, you know, people that I didn't know about, or, you know, things that I thought we were going to do, or he would invite, you know, his family, friends, and it was always, and, you know, we would travel oftentimes during the holidays because both of our sets of families lived out of town where we lived. So, I mean, that was wonderful to be, we would either be gone entirely, and he would stay at his family's house and encourage me, well, you need to stay with your family because our family, you know, our sets of parents lived about an hour apart. He said, you know, we're traveling too much. You need to stay with your parents. I'll stay with my parents during the holidays. So, you know, he let that make sense. But when it wasn't that way, there was all kinds of people around. So that really at the core of my old story. And I remember that when you said, you know, bringing lots of people around to take the attention off of you and your husband. It's, you know, it's not... not very romantic, not very intimate, and doesn't make many good memories. Because usually, after that would happen, there would always be a fight would ensue, and I would never know what it would be over. When the people started leaving, he would start getting mad. You know, now I know what was going on, but I didn't then. So yeah, that was very. You know, your newsletter article holds true for today. It's amazing how classic some of these stories are, because it, even though times has changed. Even though we're in 2010, almost 2011, which is a little crazy, I can't believe that the story is still the same. Isn't that always interesting how we hear all these stories that are still the same, even 10, 20 years, how similar they are?
I know. It's like everything I'm reading is just so relevant to today. I'm looking for another one for the following year. This is from December 2002, and it's called Unhappy Holidays for Us. Mm. Well, there's no place like home for the holidays, as the song goes. But then again, chances are the person who wrote that song didn't have a gay spouse. This is the time of year that hurts the most when you're living with a gay husband, whether he be in the closet or out of the closet, claiming to be bisexual or promising he'll never act on it. It doesn't matter what the status is when the situation comes down to the same bottom line. There is no way to feel happy when your heart is breaking and your life is always tilting in the wrong way. The season between Thanksgiving and Christmas is depressing for many people for various reasons. But for us, there is a special sadness because we know the joys that were meant for us just weren't happening, aren't happening, nor will they be happening in the future with the men we have married. We have to face a whole new set of hopes and dreams on our own or with someone else. Some of you are still stuck in the same muck as you were last year during the holiday season, and to you, I am sorry. I'm sorry because I know that no matter how much decking up your halls with boughs of holly you do to create an illusion, there's no action happening under the mistletoe with your husband. Or shall I say, there's no action happening for you with your husband under the hanging plant. If you're waiting for some action or some passion, don't bother wasting your time standing paralyzed with hope under a clump of green hanging from your ceiling. What's even worse is that the start of the holiday season seems to have moved back a month this year. I heard those holiday carols start playing as soon as Halloween was over. That gives us an extra 4 weeks to have to be reminded of the cheer of the season, which doesn't belong to us. Why are these days worse than any other time of the year? Because this is the time when you are forced to get together with other family members and friends and put on a happy face, as the saying goes. It's your time to be on stage with one of your great performances. You need to convince everyone around you that life is really wonderful, just like in that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. You don't want to ruin everyone else's holiday just because yours has been ruined. This wouldn't be fair, would it? This performance has to be of Academy Award caliber because there are lots of people out there that you need to fool, including your coworkers, friends, family members, children, and sometimes, most importantly, yourself. I say yourself because sometimes you are the most important whom you need to fool. If you really had to face your feelings while going through this time of year, you'd be popping those antidepressants by the handful. In order to survive the holiday season of joy, we put our emotions into a different psychological mindset. We suppress our feelings of emptiness and fill our lives with busy work to keep us running and doing, never allowing ourselves the luxury of time to think. Thinking would be counterproductive to the holiday spirit. We look around us to grab onto anything and everything that will make us feel grateful for what we do have in life instead of what we don't have. We stare at those beautiful creations our husbands have helped us create, namely our children. How many times do I hear women say, "Something good came out of my marriage, my children"? Almost all women with children tell me that, and it's true. All of us who have children look at this as the pot of gold at the end of the dark storm, where there's really not a rainbow. This is not to negate the fact that you have these treasures, but they certainly aren't growing up with the ideal family that you had envisioned when they were born. But not to be a humbug, during these happy days, you create a winter wonderland of family unity, or shall I say, family fantasy. And some of your husbands live up to the fantasy during these heartfelt holidays. They are on good behavior. They know that Santa Claus is coming to town, and there's something magical about this time of year, even if you are a Grinch or Grouch for the other 11 months. Most of your husbands will step up to the plate for the holly jolly holidays. They'll do their husbandly duties for the public, putting on the Ritz, so to speak. Everyone will think that you are a happy, loving family. Of course, in private, don't expect that role to carry over. The ones where they do their husbandly duties. That would really be pushing your luck. The most difficult part of the holidays is the illusion of magic that is created. Everyone is on its best behavior. Your gay husbands are trying their best to do the family thing the right way. Those yearly traditions that they grew up with in their own family seem to surface around late November and linger until January 2nd or so. It confuses us like hell. Just when we thought there was no hope for the future, this kinder, gentle, more loving husband pops up, reminding you of the days when you thought both of you were in love and your marriage would live happily ever after. And just as you're mentally being dragged into this annual full sense of hope, boom, the new year arrives and it's over. Things are back to abnormal. Sad, isn't it? So if you are still stuck in a dark space, namely your marriage to your gay husband, try not to set yourself up for the big drop. Face the season with reality. Don't let misplaced kindness fool you. Enjoy it while it's there, just to give you some peace in your ongoing storm. But don't delude yourself that this is forever. It's not by a long shot. It's only the temporary holiday spirit of love that's floating in the air. It will be blown away with a strong gust before you know it. In spite of it, have a peaceful holiday and surround yourself with the people who love you the most during these difficult days. So what do you think of that one?
Wow. Once again, I'm going to use myself as an example because it struck a few chords in my old story, especially with how what I took from one part of what you read, how everyone on the outside thinks things are so differently. I remember so many times my ex, he really got into the holiday cheer, so to speak. There would be so many Christmas lights up, so many Christmas trees. It would be exhausting. It really took away from the meaning of spending time together because he was always putting up more Christmas lights, always putting up another tree. And I would hear all these wonderful comments from people on the outside about how lucky I was to have someone because he would just be so bubbly when they came around. But behind closed doors, behind my front door, I was receiving abuse, emotional, physical, mental, all the above. And on the outside, everything looked wonderful. It all looked wonderful. And I had many women that would tell me they was jealous of my relationship. And I would always think, if you only knew what was going on behind my door.
And do you think that the holidays really just... Was your husband different during the holidays?
Yeah, he was. He was. He seemed a little more... It's interesting that you say that. He did seem a little more outgoing. He would be more talkative to people. He would, because he didn't talk that much to other people that I knew of, people around us. But he would be more talkative, and he would always be in the shopping mode, always wanting to spend money, which that was a huge issue between us because you know, for the most part, we were both students at the time, and money would be taught during the student days. So he would, you know, I would find a new credit card that he had applied for, something like that. He was always about spending money, buying expensive gifts. And it would always really put us in a hard spot. And then he would blame me for not being in the holiday spirit because we couldn't pay. I would complain because we wouldn't be able to pay the bill when it came in. So it was, but he was always bubbly with the extra spending and the decorations. And he would be probably nicer and more sociable to other people on the outside of their lives. So it was not a season I ever looked forward to. Holidays were particularly rough for me. They were very depressing because I was so unhappy. And I thought, wow, I thought holidays should be happy. You know, growing up, holidays were happy. Spending time with, you know, family and a lot of good memories with a lot of cousins because my dad has a huge family, so we'd have tons of cousins to spend time with during the holiday break. So that was just so fun, so many great memories. When I got married, you know, I had expectations of creating a lot of new great memories, and for me, it never happened. The holidays were very depressing. We would argue a lot. He would be spending a lot. He would seem to be nicer to other people, lots of people around, and it was less time for he and I to ever say or discuss anything. And, of course, if I said anything, I was just the Scrooge. I was always the Scrooge, and he was trying to make the holidays enjoyable for us. So it was rather crazy-making. You know, now that I'm outside that, you know, dancing inside that circle of crazy, I realize I was right, and I had reason for concern. I had reason to be upset. But when I was in the midst of it, I allowed him to convince me that I was just in the Scrooge, someone that didn't enjoy holidays like he did, and I just needed to leave him alone.
Now, does his family have a lot of traditional holiday kinds of things?
Not particularly, no. They celebrate Christmas, but it was very low-key. They didn't, you know, they were Christians, but they did not make a big deal out of the holiday. It was just not traditionally a big deal for his family. But now for him, he was a different story. It was a huge deal for him. I mean, we would spend thousands of dollars on Christmas lights, tree ornaments. One point in time, we had a Christmas tree, and I'm not joking, in every room of the house. We had a Christmas tree, some size of a Christmas tree. So, you know, he really went overboard in that respect, and he was talented doing the trees and things, but it was just a bit too much for me and for our budget. So he really took Christmas to the, you know, it was like the Griswold to that level, the huge level, you know. But his family necessarily didn't do that. He did that. And I guess he found some comfort in that. I don't know what, but he did find comfort in doing that. And the holidays as the straight wife was just always depressing for me. The holidays never delivered, I guess you could say. I didn't get into the Christmas cheer. I was always depressed because my marriage was so bad. I would try to get into the holiday cheer somehow, and as soon as I would, there'd be some kind of fight, argument, or something would be going on. So holidays during my marriage was quite frankly, they were terrible. This time of year was not a good time of year.
Well, I read the next one, December 2003. I'll read that one. It's called Act 2, Scene 3. Quite frequently, women write to me about their lack of viable skills when it comes to securing a job so they can gain financial independence. I always look for transferable skills that would be a good match, such as a caretaker, nurse, detective, etc. How did I miss the most obvious one, namely actress? Every holiday season, wives of gay men have to play their Oscar award-winning role of happy wife in front of crowds of hundreds. Of course, there is no golden statue at the end of the season like their movie counterparts, but no doubt the performances are just as extraordinary. And the holiday season is not just the yearly birthday, anniversary, or Easter. The holiday season is a long stretch that starts at Thanksgiving and continues until Valentine's Day. Between those two points, we begin the family and love ordeal. Thanksgiving is the beginning, followed by Christmas, New Year's Day, and finally ending on Valentine's Day in February. We are so relieved to have the president's birthday as a holiday in February because by then all our emotional horror of the holiday season is over. Imagine thinking that Washington and Lincoln can actually neutralize and balance out life. because after 3 months of family celebrating family love and unity, we no longer have to cringe when we hear the word holiday. The touchy-feely ones are over, and once again, we have not been touched or felt, and in fact, most of us have been living with a Novocaine kind of numbness so that we can protect ourselves from crying at any given moment because we are hurting. The holiday season is such a difficult time for straight wives because there is an upfront in-your-face reminder of what life was supposed to be like but never became. Or if it was, it's over year after year because homosexuality has joined into your previously happy union or what you were hoping would be your happy union. It's almost like having Scrooge find his way into your husband's body and head. When you want a display of affection and emotion, he's saying, bah, humbug. To this I say, ho, 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 no more. You see, even though you may be feeling the pain of this holiday season, it could be your last year to suffer this way. Believe it or not, you could make it your New Year's resolution to be free by next year. Free of the pressures and strain of living a lie. Free of the constant questioning of what you can do to make life better with the man who wants a man to make his life better. Free of the mental torture from your mind games your husband plays so well with you, trying to make you start believing that you are losing your mind and it's just your imagination running away with you while he's running around with men. Free of earning your professional detective license while snooping around in a relationship that is supposed to be based on honesty and truth. Free to go to bed at night and feel good about waking up in the morning. Why? Because waking up alone and having peace of mind is always better than waking up next to someone who really doesn't want to be with you and is making you miserable because he feels you are trapping him. You see, way beyond this being a holiday season of family and love, it's a holiday season of hope. A time to make resolutions that will help you become healthy and happy. Now, I know people hate cliches, but this one really catches the essence of the holiday. Namely, hope springs eternal. This little ditty kind of coincides with my own personal philosophy. Namely, each new day offers the opportunity of waking up and changing your life. I believe it. I actually did it, and I never look back and regret it. My marriage was doomed. I could have spent 10, 15, or 25 more years of wasting my life with a man who could only make me miserable. But a little bird in my head that became a choir of canaries sang to me, don't do it. Don't give up one more year of your precious time to a debilitating situation. Look, I know there are women who are now free who are reading my newsletter. You write to me all the time. I appreciate it if you could write to share your new life with my other readers who are so trapped in their marriage and give them hope. Hope for the new year, hope for a new life, hope for happiness, hope for sanity. And I'll be happy to publish your letters. So that was from 2003.
Wow, I love that one as well. And I have to agree with everything you just said, especially in terms of, I remember I chose to get out of my marriage during the holiday season. How great is that? And, of course, my now ex-husband didn't know that, but, you know, that was like a great Christmas present to myself. I decided it took me, probably at the end of the year in 1999, which seems like a lifetime ago now, you know, sometime October, I guess, in that time frame, I decided I was getting out. And it took me a few months to carry that forward because there's always planning. But, you know, even though I spent time with him during the holidays of that year, I knew I was getting out. So that was probably the best holiday season we ever spent together for myself. Because I knew I was giving myself that gift. I knew that was my gift for the new year. I was getting out. And I've never regretted that decision. My only regret is I didn't do it sooner.
I know. And I think that's what most of our women do say.
Absolutely.
Not that they regret getting out. They just regret, you know, waiting so long until they did it.
Absolutely. That was my only regret. That, as I hear that all the time. I would say 99.9% of the women I work with, when, you know, if they have any regrets, that's usually their largest regret. And that was my regret as well, just not doing it many years sooner.
I know, because, you know, I always tell women that every day you lose in these marriages is a day you can never get back.
Absolutely.
You know, you're like you're losing a day of your life that, you know, is never going to return. And, you know, when you think about, you know, how sad that is, you know, that you give up years of your life and you just never can gain that time back.
No,
time
passes and life is very precious. This one life we live here on this earth is very precious time. So, you know, reflecting back, that's really my only regret is not leaving sooner. However, I have to say my life leaped forward in many positive ways once I did decide to divorce and did go through with the divorce, because what I was doing, I didn't realize it. I was holding myself back with the marriage. And I just had to take my power back. Taking my power back, the huge leap I took in taking my power back was to file for divorce. He would have never filed for divorce. I would still be married to him today if I would have waited. And that scares me. That really scares me to think, what if I would have waited on him, because he would never have filed. He was happy and content in the marriage. It served his purposes.
You know, I always tell women who write to me, and, you know, I get many of them each day, and then I respond to them. Lately, I've been using a line a lot, and I just feel like this kind of defines the whole situation. I write back to them, and I say that life was never meant to be this complicated. And I really believe that, Misty, that this is not what life is about.
No,
you know,
and you know what? Love is not that complicated either. I mean, when it's become so chaotic, that's not what it is. It's not love. It's not a good life. When things are so complicated, chaotic, you're dancing so hard inside that circle of crazy to make it work. It's not a good life. It's not a fun life. It's usually not quality. And, you know, that's not to say marriages are not work. It does take a lot to make a marriage work. But these are different. These are different than straight people marriages. They're so different.
And you know what? It's hard enough to make a straight marriage work. And the straight marriage, you're coming in on very different circumstances where, you know, certainly you don't have this obstacle of a husband who really doesn't want a woman. But even under the best of circumstances, that's why the divorce rate is 50%. And people seem shocked when they hear that, you know, people don't try hard enough in their marriages. Well, the truth of the matter is that up until 30, 40 years ago, when people got married, it was a lifetime commitment. Whether it was good or it was bad, you were stuck. But, you know, women have learned through the years that you don't have to be stuck in a situation that's not productive for you. And I always tell, you know, couples when I'm counseling them, it doesn't have to be a straight gay couple, but a straight couple, that sometimes marriages, you know, when you get married young, when you get married without really knowing each other, or for whatever the circumstances are, sometimes they just don't work. And it's not like you have to have one bad guy, one good guy, you know, she's right, he's wrong. It just wasn't a compatible marriage. And, you know, I tell people, cut your losses and move on. You know, you have to be happy. You only have one chance to go around through life. If you made a mistake, you can fix it. And, you know, certainly they don't seem to have the same problems accepting that as our straight wives have. With our straight wives, they're just so mentally beaten down from being in a bad marriage and believing and internalizing that it's their fault, that they've done something wrong, that they have a much more difficult time walking away from a marriage than, you know, women married to straight men have.
Absolutely.
And I tell women that, you know, this is ridiculous. You know, and, you know, we know women like this. You know, we work with women like this who just feel they can't walk away. You know, and they'll just stay and they'll linger. And, you know, a year goes by, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. The children are grown and the children are out of the house and they're still there. I mean, they can't even use the children anymore as an excuse. They don't have that strength.
It's always easy. You know, once the children are grown, it's always easy to find another excuse to stay. And that's so unfortunate. And that's why I think our guest last week was so important. And I encourage any of you out there, they're having such a hard time with your self-esteem and moving on, you know, order that book. Look at that. Read some of that stuff. I guess was wonderful in terms of building that self-esteem. I really, in reflecting on my years past, that's why I stayed so long. I didn't believe in myself.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely did not believe in myself.
And how about going into your marriage? Did you believe in yourself when you first got married?
Or
do you think you were too young to really...
I was very young. I was, and I will say I was very young. I think I was 19. But I believed in myself. I had a whole lot of beliefs for myself. I had a whole lot of goals for my future. I had all kinds of things, these wonderful ideas floating in my mind, in my head, of what life was going to be and what I was striving to be and who I was becoming as a woman. Because I came, you know, we talked about this before. I mean, I had good self-esteem. I didn't have perfect self-esteem. I don't know if any woman or young girl that grows up in our society can have perfect self-esteem with some of these things put on what women should be and should do and should look like and should act like, all those things. But in terms of that, I had good self-esteem. Looking back, I lost it so quick. So it didn't matter. It didn't matter that I had good self-esteem. My self-esteem plummeted because, number one, I don't think I was able to recognize the abuse that was going on because I had not experienced the type of abuse that was going on. I didn't know what was going on. I kept thinking it was my fault because I was fed a daily diet that everything was my fault. So I was broken early on. I really was. My self-esteem was so damaged early on. But I did find a way to realize there's some support, and that's why support is so important. Through a wonderful cousin, my cousin Vicki, she was just so brilliant in how she helped me. She supported me. She didn't know, and she said, I don't know anything about what you're going through, but I'll help you however I can. And most of the time she helped me by just listening and not passing judgment. And that gave me enough strength to file for divorce because there were times I would talk myself out of it. I said, well, you know, maybe he's not doing this because he would be really nice. As if he knew in my mind I had been planning a divorce. He would be really nice and do these wonderful things. And she would tell me, are you really going to settle for this? That's when she would use judgment, just when I needed it. Well, if you're going to settle for this, this is fine, she would say, but I really think you deserve more. So, you know, that would really put me back into perspective, and that helped me build up enough self-esteem to where I had, you know, I decided I have to get divorced. And I gave myself that early Christmas present. And it took a few months. Actually, it didn't go into action, I think, until February the following year. But I knew during those holidays that was my last holiday. I had to put up with that. And as I was exiting, I started building my self-esteem because I knew. Then I was living on true hope. Wasn't living on false hope anymore. I knew I was living on true hope and putting my future into my hands again and taking it away from the abuse. So that really helped build me up and get me out.
So if you're listening to this and you're in an unhappy marriage, you really should give yourself that gift this holiday season, because this is certainly a holiday season where people do give gifts, and you should give yourself the first gift of making a plan to escape and to leave the marriage that's making you so unhappy. Because, you know, even though it takes some planning, and I know not everybody can do it today, I think if you have a mental plan and you've accepted it, like Misty was saying, you know, she knew it would be her last holiday that she's going to be spending like this. It didn't mean she walked out that day, but she put her plan into effect, as I think many of us do, and made the steps she needed to make so that she wouldn't have to have one more holiday like this. And for those women who keep saying to us, you know, to both of us, well, we don't have absolute proof. You don't need absolute proof. All you need is proof that you're not happy. I mean, that should be proof enough, don't you think so, Misty?
Absolutely. I love that. You know, proof that you're not happy. You're not going to save the world by staying in a marriage that's so broken. And it's, you know, you either got to save yourself and try to live a happy life, because this one life we get here is precious. It's so precious. And like Bonnie said, every day that's gone, that's a day gone. You cannot get that day back. It's spent. It's part of your history now. But what's part of your future? What's going to take you? And this is a great question I love to ask my clients, and I'll throw this out there, you know, when you're trying to make decisions and make a goal, especially if your goal is leaving and starting a life of your own, ask yourself, with each step you're taking or each choice you're making, is this choice taking me closer to my end result? Is this choice taking me a step closer to that goal I want to achieve? And you can break it down into small goals. It doesn't have to be huge goals. A small goal could be, and this is very plausible. I have women say, you know, I have to get myself financially on my feet. Oh, great. Let's work on that plan. Let's work out a goal. You know, some women are working part-time. They want to transition to full-time. So, you know, we work on those things, and each choice you make down this road of possibilities, because there's so many possibilities out there, don't ever feel trapped. I certainly feel when you get in the mode of feeling trapped, you really have to bring in some professional help, or you've got to bring in some very, very supportive friends. Because when you see yourself trapped, you're not seeing any options. And I'm a firm believer. I like to think positive, but I always think there are options. Are there all easy options? No. Not necessarily easy, but there's always options. So, you know, put yourself in that mind frame and ask yourself, when you move and you set these goals, is this baby step taking me closer to that goal? Is it moving me closer to who I wish to be, who I'm trying to be, or what I'm striving for? And that's just a simple question to always ask yourself when you're presented with the choice to make. Is it moving you closer? Or, conversely, is it taking you farther away? If it's taking you farther away, look to see if there's other choices that will take you closer.
And once again, some of these are really hard choices. And I think what's really different about these marriages, so much more so than straight marriages, is that in many cases there are good marriages where, you know, women love their gay husbands and, you know, they had some good years put in and they were happy years and they didn't even know from homosexuality and they thought they had a somewhat normal marriage. And all of a sudden, their husbands, you know, come and tell them that they're gay and that they're leaving the marriage, and the women can't understand this. It's like, here I thought we had it all, and certainly, you know, never suspected anything, and then the next thing, boom, their husbands are leaving. And in those cases, I mean, I always say it's harder to get over a good marriage than it is a bad marriage, because in a good marriage, you did have so many of those things that you dreamt about, built a life together with. And all of a sudden, it's being taken away from you. And I know that it really hurts. I mean, Misty and I see the hurt that our women go through every day, whether they're in a bad marriage like we were in or a good marriage like many of our other women were in. I mean, there's no good way that you can leave a marriage. And bottom line is that you have to learn to accept that you cannot beat homosexuality. You know, it's not something like women say to me, is my husband willing to give up a marriage just, you know, for sex? It's not about that. It's about who a person is and, you know, when he finally comes to terms with who he is. And by the time, you know, he finally comes to you and tells you this, this is something that he's been working on for years and years and years in his own life, you know, trying to be somebody who he's not. And, you know, I think that both you and I, Missy, are really sympathetic to a lot of these men who go through the struggle, because there couldn't be anything worse than having to live a lie all these years and trying to be someone who you're not. So our hearts do go out to our gay men who do struggle with this. It's just a matter of how you leave and how responsible you are to your family. You know, I never expect somebody to just stay in their family. I expect them to do the right thing. But part of doing the right thing is being emotionally and also financially responsible to the family. But, you know, it doesn't mean there's ever going to be happy endings. I mean, some women love their husbands so much and they have such a hard time accepting it. But, you know, once again, I think that accepting it is the first step to moving on and healing and realizing that no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, no matter how good a wife you could be, it's just not what your husband needs. You know, I think women have a hard time with that. Do you find that so?
Absolutely. I mean, I could not have put it into better words. Yes, I agree with that. And going back to what you were saying, considering the different marriages, and considering that some are easier to leave than others when there's a lot of abuse involved, and, you know, for my own particular situation, I wouldn't say it was easier. I would say it became a choice that I knew I had to, or my life was going to be in further danger. And certainly, I will always put this disclaimer out there, I'm not saying all gay husbands are mentally, physically abusive. That's not what I'm saying. My particular situation was. And it's not easy to leave these marriages. And, you know, I've been out for so many years now, I can reflect back. And now I don't have the pain and the frustration and all the chaos that it took to get out of that marriage. But during that time, there was seemed like there were no easy choices to make. You know, all the choices were so hard to make because I was impacting my life, you know, my future. And my future was, you know, even though I had goals and plans, it wasn't stable. You know, whereas staying with my ex was stable. I knew that he was going to be angry. I knew he was going to be hateful. I knew he would explode with anger and it could potentially hurt me, hit me, or throw something. I knew that. And it's so unfortunate that that became acceptable part of my stable life. You know, I accepted it as being my life. So, you know, moving towards the direction, giving myself a gift of leaving and divorcing, it was not easy. It was certainly not easy. And, you know, my heart goes out to all the women in those shoes trying to make that decision to move forward. And as you said so beautifully, my heart goes out to the gay men that married these women because so many of them are, oh, they have such trouble with their sexuality. They don't want to be that. They fight it. So many of them do. You know, as we've talked before, you know, I'm so grateful that I've come to the conclusion of believing that, you know, my ex-husband, he loved me the best he could, even though abuse was involved. And I certainly believe that he thought he could squash his feelings of homosexuality. And it wasn't, I don't think it was trickery like we've talked about before on the radio show. But, you know, my heart goes out to them, and my heart really goes out to the straight wives just because there's no place for them to seek shelter from the storm. There's such a lapse in services. There's so many of these women, they can't find support of someone to understand what they're going through without being viewed as being homophobic, and that's not what we are. That's not what we've ever promoted. And I encourage any, you know, especially if we have gay married men listening, you know, give if your wife doesn't know, give her the best gift you've ever given her in your life. It's to talk to her this holiday season. And talk to her with support. If you can't do it yourself, find support in your local community. There's lots of great therapists out there that does help with this type of situation. So, you know, I encourage everyone to be able to live their truth. I can't imagine what it would be like not being able to live my truth. And I wish that on anyone. So all these decisions,
You weren't living your truth when you were living with your gay husband.
No. That's why I appreciate it so much today, because I was not. I was always trying to be someone else. And when you're trying to be someone else, you're never living your truth. You're always falling
in
the shadow.
I mean, not only are they living a lie, we're living their lie with them. It may
Absolutely.
Be in a different form, but it's not who we are. So we're lying about
Absolutely.
That, too.
Yep.
So
I agree with that.
Those are some good words for the holiday season coming up. Most importantly, it's important to find support. And, of course, you can always find it through our support chat. You can write to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's B-O-N-K-A-Y-E. @AOL.com, and if you're interested in Misty's workshop coming up, that's another wonderful avenue for you to find, you know, group support that's kind of live because it's on the telephone, so you're actually talking to people. And you can write Misty at MistyLynnHall@AOL.com. That's MistyLynnHall@AOL.com. And also, Misty, they can go visit your website at mistyhall.com, right?
Absolutely.
www.mistyhall.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever just want to relax some beautiful pictures and words, you can always go to Misty's website. Most
Thank
importantly,
you.
Realize that you're not alone, that there's support and help out there for you. And we will be broadcasting throughout the holiday season and trying to have some interesting speakers come on and to give you other support. We want to thank also from our show last week, Carmen Polito, who talked a lot about, you know, building up your self-esteem through her book, Women's Success Guide. And make sure if you haven't listened to last week's show, go back to our archives because you'll learn so much about why women act the way they do and how to
Absolutely.
Get out of those bad habits that we all get into. So, Misty, I just want to wish you a wonderful week and a wonderful week to all our listeners. And we'll be back here next Sunday night with our wife, you know, straight wives talk show. So you have a wonderful week, Misty.
You too. And good night, and love to all. Okay,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.